Amen. We are forever grateful. 120, our last one of the praise songs for now. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So much we have to thank him for. How about we stand as we sing this one, 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing till the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. You're rich in love, slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Yes, I will worship your holy name. You may be seated. Good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. Another beautiful day that the Lord has made. And our junior choir sitting up front here ready to sing for us later on. It's going to be good. All right, some announcements that I have to go over. Before we continue on, several things, Christian Ed Committee, I think you should know we have meeting after church today. We're going to go down the Sunday school wing. Okay, all right. 4-0s women, notice there's a gathering this Tuesday at 1, so sign the sheet out there if you're planning to come. Couple things on Vacation Bible School. There's a list out there on the information cabinet for helpers that are needed, some specific areas, and then just in general, if you're willing to help and be assigned to wherever. So please take a look at that. Parents and helpers both, you can go on the website, it's in the bulletin there. Follow the instructions and register your children. You get the size of their t-shirts. This is for volunteer helpers as well to do that. If you do it as soon as you can, that just helps the people directing this to get things in order. Tonight's our Fellowship of Christian Athletes spring banquet here at the old gym at 6 o'clock. So as always, everybody's invited to attend that. The next Sunday evening, well, next Sunday is Palm Sunday already. In the evening is the cantata, the Menno Olivet Easter cantata. But one thing regarding next Sunday, Palm Sunday, it's also Confirmation Sunday. So no Sunday school classes. Church starts at 10 o'clock. We will still have the children bringing in the palm branches. That would be the cherub choir age, so 3-year-old through third grade. And if they could be in the social hall by 9:45, 9:50, then the teachers will help to get things ready. So remember last Sunday I told you, let's have a bunch of them here, okay? Salad supper, ladies, there's an insert in the bulletin about that. You can read that as you have time. One thing, other thing I did not get in the bulletin, or we didn't, was Easter breakfast, because that is the 2 weeks from today. The high school youth group will be serving Easter breakfast as usual. That starts at 8:30 in the morning, goes till 10 o'clock, and then on that day we have 10:30 church as usual. Okay? The rest of the announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love to gather together to worship and praise your name, as we have just done, as we will continue to do. We sing those words, part of them coming from Psalm 103 that says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name." And we have so much to praise you for. As that psalm tells us, Lord, you are the one who forgives us of our sins. You are the one who heals our diseases. You are the one who has lifted us out of the pit of destruction. And you, Father, are the one who has crowned us with your loving kindness and tender mercies. And Father, you are the one who satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. And so much more you have given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. How can we help but praise you with our whole spirit, soul, and body? And so we do. And we ask for you to fill this sanctuary with your presence and your glory and move among us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand for our opening hymn, number 348, My Savior's Love. If you're looking in the hymnal, we'll sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen. Something beautiful to think about, isn't it? And to sing about. Take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated.
Morning. Morning, morning, morning. All right, we will have our sharing of joys and concerns this morning. So several prayer requests, I guess, that I have written down here. First is went out on the prayer chain yesterday. I'll give updates on this regarding Jay Herbolt. He was taken by a cow yesterday morning, went airborne, and fortunately got out of there, but ended up with a broken humerus above the elbow here on the left side. They thought initially broken ribs. The x-rays then showed not, but still very sore, and they're hoping for surgery tomorrow on the arm. They won't really know that until tomorrow morning. So be praying for Jay, Cheryl, and as he's in the middle of his calving season, which makes it all the more difficult for him. Kayleen Eisenbrey, she had hip surgery last Monday. It went very well. She's back at her house in Olivet recovering. Continued prayers for Johnny Graber. He was moved to Freeman to the care center and hospice care. He's been battling cancer for quite a while. Prayers for him. It was actually, if you were here on
Sanctity of Life Human Sunday, it was his son's wife that shared that day here in church. Let's see. Alicia, how about your friend Ashley? Has any? Okay. All right. Yeah, this is a young mom. Her name is Ashley. They have a 9-month-old. Was that right? And she had I can't go into it all, a spinal fistula that ruptured. And so it hindered the movement and feeling from her waist down. So be praying for her. Also for Marilee's daughter, Glenda, who's in the hospital in Sioux Falls. Okay. Anything else over here? Yes, Barry. Okay. All right. Exciting. Barry and Deb and not Lane are heading to San Antonio this afternoon for Logan's graduation from where he's been at now. What, a basic train? A school? All right. So that's on Wednesday. So exciting. We do pray for safe travels. Give him all of our greetings, please. Okay? Yeah.
My mom's birthday.
Is?
Yep. It's Wednesday, I think.
Okay. Amanda Wilcoxon's birthday is Wednesday, we think. Yes? Okay. At least he had the right day. Happy birthday. All right. Thanks, Jackson. Anybody else over here? Mary Heckenleibel, Grace? Okay, we pray for Grace Heckenleibel, who's having tubes in the ears, adenoids removed, and a tongue tie on Friday. We pray for your Grace. She is like, what's all that about? It's a good thing she doesn't know. Yes, Pat. Yeah, Pat Palmerville's granddaughter, Tiffany, has had breast cancer, and then now there's another. Oh, it's in the breast bone. Is that right? Yeah, it has spread. So she starts treatments tomorrow, or tentatively tomorrow, yeah. So prayers for Tiffany Palmerville. Yeah, sorry to hear that. In the sound booth in the middle. Okay, Trinity Kasurik had her 20th birthday this last Friday, Jesse. That's right, it is. Micah Gehring turns 13 on Wednesday. Okay. Well, welcome home to Kenny and Ramona Bittner, our snowbirds. First ones back. I know another set. Yeah. Willard and Darlene are heading back today, so prayer for safe travels for them. How about, let's see, who's that? Janae? Ethan McCoy had his 13th birthday last Friday. Happy birthday to him. Yes. Kiani is having knee surgery on Friday, like a scope type thing or something more than that. More than that. Okay. Jennifer Kessler's daughter, Kiani. Prayers for her. Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. Prayers for Tom Rice, our superintendent. His wife, as she's battling cancer, has really since he's been here, but apparently she's starting a new round of treatment this week. So, what do you know her first name? Huh? Jenny. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, there's much always to bring before your throne, and your ears are always open, your word tells us, to your prayers. And so we do. We lift up Mr. Rice and his wife Jenny as she continues through this battle against cancer. We pray for the treatment that she's going to begin here this week. And as we lift her up, we pray for Tiffany Palmerville as well, who also has been in a similar battle for quite a time, Lord. These struggles are not easy, and we pray for these two. Give the doctors wisdom as they continue their course of action.
with their what they can do, and all the more what you do by your amazing power. We look to you, Jesus. We pray for Johnny Graber as he's been moved to hospice care this week in his battle against cancer. Be with the family, be with Cleo, and just family and friends through this time, a difficult time, Lord, but you are always with us, and you are our refuge and our fortress, a very present help in times of trouble. We want to lift up Jay Herbolt after what could have been a much worse accident yesterday morning. We pray, Lord, for your favor, that there could be an opening tomorrow for surgery on that arm to do what needs to be done. And we thank you for going before him and Cheryl in this healing process and in the calving season that he's in, and others are too, I know, calving and lambing. And we just ask, Lord, for your hand of protection upon those who deal with the livestock and the challenges that it presents. Please, Father, keep them safe and give your angels charge over them. We thank you, Father, for Kayleen, for a successful surgery there and a good recovery time that she's having after her hip surgery. We lift up Alicia's friend Ashley and her husband Adam, and this issue with her back that's caused loss of movement in the lower extremities. Lord, we pray that that can be restored to her. And Father, in Jesus' name, you are the life giver, and we ask for your life to flow through the nerves in the spine and all the way down the legs to restore that movement. We thank you, Father, for Marilee's daughter, Glenda, in the hospital, and just ask for your mercy and your grace upon her and your healing touch there as well. Several birthdays mentioned, Lord, and we thank you for each and every one and their lives and the joy they bring to us. We pray for Barry and Deb as they head down to San Antonio tomorrow for Logan's graduation, another step further in the Navy, and an exciting day again. And we just thank you for all of our service men and women. However long they've been in, we ask for your protection upon them here at home and abroad, and thank you for their sacrifices to our nation, our security, and in, as they help nations all around our world. For Kenny and Ramona, we're thankful that they're back with us safe and sound and suntanned. And Willard and Darlene, as they start back today with Kim, I believe that you give your traveling mercies to them. Lord, I want to pray for Betty Ulmer. I forgot to mention her, but Betty Ulmer, as she had a stroke apparently this week and now is in the full care center in Freeman. We pray for her, for the family, the children, as they make decisions regarding her care. Thank you for watching over her, Lord. Father, we lift up our continued need for moisture. You know it. And you tell us to ask and knock and seek. And so we are. We're trusting you to bring the moisture, Lord. You know, and we know too, we're in a season of what has been called drought, but you can change that in short order. And we thank you for bringing the clouds and the rain to this part of our nation that is in such desperate need of that. Thank you for all of these things, Lord. We pray for Ukraine in that situation as well. We ask for your guiding hand there in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read from Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's stand, please. We'll sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, Father, we do, as we bring our offerings and our tithes here into this storehouse, you are our treasure, Lord, and we want our heart to be totally yours. And so we honor you with the first fruits of all that you bless us with as you instruct us to do in your word. Thank you for your guiding hand in our lives each and every day. We ask that these gifts would be multiplied for the work of your kingdom so that all could know you, Jesus, as their Lord and their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, and we pray together, Lord, the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated and the children can come for the Kingdom Kids time.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. How are you today? Are you awake? Oh, you're just trying to find your seats, right? Okay. Let's say it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's a little bit better. It's okay. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about school, all right? What do you learn in school? Just tell me some things. Math? Right, so you learn what 2 + 2 is?
No.
You know that's easy for you, but for the little ones it may not be. So you learn math. What do you learn? Science. The older you are, you learn more things. Quick. What do you learn? Activities.
Reading.
The alphabet. Yes, when you're little and you learn that over and over again, right? Kelly, what do you learn? Spelling, all kinds of things, lots of things we learn. And do you just learn it one time? Like you older ones, do you just learn your history lesson one time? No, you get it what? Over and over and over again. You learn that 2 + 2 equals? Not 5. You learn that your letters all make a different sound, and when you put together, they make words, right? They teach you over and over again. And one reason they do that is because one day you may have a
test.
You may have a test, right? You may have the test to see if you've learned what your teacher has taught you and what your parents have taught you, what you've been learning in Sunday school. So, and if you get 2 + 2 equals 4. Oh, sorry. No, it's not. You get an A+. You passed, right? Sometimes when you're younger, you don't even know that your teacher might be testing you to see if you know it. But at some point, and in all of our lives, as we get older, we have tests to see if we know what we've learned. Well, you know what? I think Jesus' disciples were the same way. Do you know when Jesus started his ministry, he taught them for about three years or so, and he taught them all kinds of things, but he taught them about who God was, he taught them about who he was, and what he was there to do, he taught them about the Holy Spirit that he would send to them, and he taught them about heaven, he taught them about all kinds of things, right? And he showed them. He taught them to be kind. He taught them to share. He taught them to love each other. to help those that need help, to take care of the poor, take care of the hurt. He taught them to say they're sorry, to forgive people, all these things, right? All these things he taught them. Well, do you think at one time then they might had a test? Oops. You think they had a test about all this stuff? I think they might have. I think it was that when their test came, and it was what Pastor Mike's going to talk about today. We've been talking and you've been learning all about the Easter season and all about what Jesus has been doing. And the last thing we talked about when he was in the upper room with his disciples and they ate a big meal. Well, after that, they went out to this garden and they went out to there to pray. Jesus wanted to pray because he knew things that were going to be happening to them. Oh, and I forgot to tell you this one. You know what? Jesus also told them what was going to happen to him in Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. Listen to this. Jesus told them, he took the 12 aside and he said, "We're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests, the teachers of the law. They will condemn him." He's talking about himself. "They will hand me over to the Gentiles. I'll be mocked. I'll be flogged. And I'll be crucified." Right? And on the third day, he told them he would rise. So he told them this. So they heard it, but I don't think they really got it. They didn't get it. So this is what I think their test was. They came, they were in the garden, and after Jesus prayed for a while, and at a certain time, guess who came and found them? The soldiers. They came with their knives and their swords and their clubs, and they came with their chains, and they tied up and arrested who? Jesus. They came and they got him. And boy, you know what? The disciples, even though they heard this could have happened, I don't think they were ready. And at that moment, they had a choice. They could have stayed with Jesus and believed what he said and supported him, or they could have ran. What did they do?
Ran.
They did run. It tells us in chapter 26, all of them deserted him and they fled. Now, you know what? I'm going to tell you the end of the story, though. The good news is all of them came back. All the disciples came back. And they all understood and loved Jesus again. And they went on in the church age. But at that moment, I think they were afraid. Wouldn't you have been afraid? Here, the person you're with, that you've been for 3 years and you loved him. And all of a sudden, he gets arrested and taken. And they were afraid. Well, you know what? We have those choices in our lives, too. Sometimes bad and scary things happen to us. Sometimes people get really sick and sometimes they die, and we might feel like this old broken doll, right? We might feel like, boy, something really terrible happened to me or in my family. Somebody got sick and somebody might have died. Somebody got things broken. We got our feelings hurt. We got our hearts hurt. Bad things do happen, don't they? Because we live in a world, a fallen world, it says in the Bible. And things will happen to us. But we have a choice too. Are we going to hold on to what God has told us? That he's with us. Jesus is with us. He'll help us through whatever it is that we go through. No matter what we go through, he will be with us. He'll walk right with us. Are we going to hold on to that and hold on to what we know and love God and worship him and choose that? Or are we just going to say, nope, it didn't work. I'm not trusting him anymore. I got hurt. It didn't go good for me. And that's it. What are we going to do, boys and girls? We're going to hold on to God, aren't we? We're going to believe what he said is true. We're going to think about all those things that we learned about him and loved him and all of the good things. We're going to cling on to him, and we're going to stand, aren't we? Okay? Now, there will be times when we'll feel like this doll, and we might even turn and get hurt and just be mad at God for a little bit, but you know what? We always come back, just like the disciples did. We come back and follow him. Okay? Let's remember that. Well, stand for Jesus, all right? Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for this season that we're in. Jesus, all you did for us, all you've done when you rose from the dead. We are so excited. You live in us through the Holy Spirit. Bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week, Lord. Help them to be the light that shines. Help them to remind their friends, no matter if bad things happen, you, God, are still good, and you will help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, get your papers.
Okay, I'll take my dolly.
Okay, thank you, Anne. The junior choir is going to sing special music for us today. These are our 4th through 8th graders. And Marina Schaefer directs and Jennifer Herbolt plays. Fred Seiler, I think, is playing on the drum, aren't you? Okay. Ron maybe has a solo in there too. All right.
The song that we're going to sing here this morning is called Help is on the Way. And it's from recently recorded by Toby Mack. It's being played on contemporary Christian radio, and it came out last year sometime. And we chose it because of the message. And very often, when we have work to do, notice my sleeves are rolled up. And how many of you like to roll up your sleeves when you go to work? I know one of the guys in the Sunday school class, I know Brock has his sleeves rolled up. And so this song has an analogy of God rolling up his sleeves, getting ready to help us. And we all have things going on in our lives. We all have trouble, like Ann was talking about. But we have a God who sees. He sees what we're struggling with. He sees what we're going on and help is coming.
Troubles, but the Lord ain't failed me yet. So I'm holding on to the promise, y'all, that he's rolling up his sleeves again. Said I've seen my share of troubles, but the Lord ain't failed me yet. we'll keep holding on to the promise, y'all, that he's rolling up his sleeves again.
Rolling up,
don't you know it?
Rolling up his sleeves again.
I can see him rolling.
Rolling up,
help is coming. In the corner,
help is on the way,
coming for you.
Help is on the way, help is on the way.
Okay, thank you all, Marina and Jennifer, Ron, Fred, and the kids. That's a neat song. We hear it on the radio. Yes, help is on the way. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, one I think I forgot to pray for was little Grace Heckenleibel and her surgery coming on Friday. So we lift her up to pray that this goes well with the tubes and the adenoids removed and the tongue clipped underneath there, just and the healing, that the healing goes well. So Father, we thank you for your word. As always, we look in to your word this time of year as we're focused on the cross. Father, your incredible plan of redemption from before time began, you had it all in place. You, as the kids just sang, help is on the way. And you never leave us, you never forsake us. Whether it's today or tomorrow or next year, or it's all in your time, and we know it is. So help us to trust in you each and every day. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, without sin, who so perfectly walked out your plan in such an incredible way. So let us follow you. Forgive us for times we end up getting in the flesh, reacting in ways we shouldn't. Now, Lord, I ask you to speak through me by your Spirit, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47. On Wednesday night, we were in the Garden of Gethsemane. Last Sunday morning, we were coming, they were leaving Jerusalem and coming down across the Kidron Valley to the Garden of Gethsemane. So that today is when he gets arrested. Matthew 26, verse 47. While he was still speaking, so let me just pause right off the bat for a second. That was his last words in the garden to the 11, when he said, rise, let us go, here comes my betrayer. Those words. So while he was still speaking, saying that, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, friend, do what you came for. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him.
With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Amen. All right, let's start through this here this morning. So this is the arrest about midnight, right in there, okay? When they went to the garden, probably about 2 a.m. when they actually came and arrested him, because there was that prayer time in the garden, as we talked about on Wednesday night. I titled this, as you see, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." If that's what, there's many lessons here, but one that I want us to learn and be reminded of today is that the battle belongs to the Lord. As we walk through our lives, we know it, we should know it, we got to be reminded of it, because how many times we've all been there again and again, our own flesh tries to rise up and react to situations. We try to take the situation into our own hands to fix it, and we're going to see that's what happened here. But the closing song we're going to sing is one of our praise songs, "God of Angel Armies." And that question in that song keeps asking, "Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?" Which comes from Scripture. The answer is no one, isn't it? And we see Jesus, he is in command every step of the way, all through this. The disciples could not see it. They were living it out by the moment. Just as we live out things by the moment in our lives, we can't see the end of the story when we're in it. And they couldn't either. So they couldn't see it, even though he tried to tell them. They were not understanding it as it was happening. They often thought that they had to protect Jesus. In those 3 years, we see many times, how about when the parents were bringing their little children to Jesus because they wanted him to touch them? And they said, no, you know, they're saying, "Lord, send these children away." You know, they thought they were disturbing him. Jesus had to rebuke him at that time. How about when Jesus was trying to explain to the 12 about the cross? They had to go to Jerusalem for that. And Peter takes him aside and rebukes him. No. Jesus had to rebuke him, say, "Satan, you get behind me right now." How about the Syrophoenician woman? We looked at her not so many months back when she came to Jesus for healing for her daughter who was demon-possessed. There again, we see the disciples telling Jesus, "Lord, would you send her away? She's making a bunch of noise and racket." And Jesus delivers her daughter. So much of it, they were not following. Jesus, John 18:4, before we get to starting in the outline, Jesus, it says here, Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out. He went out and asked him, "Who is it you want?" When they came to arrest him, he went out to meet his betrayer. Remember, I talked about King David last Sunday morning, when Absalom, his son, betrayed him and had a coup, and David fled across the Kidron Valley. Jesus went across the Kidron Valley to meet his betrayer. So let's look at this. Jesus in command, the first one. He, obviously, perfect. He's fully God, fully man. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Judas here, still called one of the 12, even though he had left, could have been, I think, referred to as one of the 12 because you have to think about it. The shock of those other 11 when they saw this happening. That night, earlier in the upper room when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, when Jesus quietly said to Judas Iscariot, you know, you are the one who's going to betray me. And then he said, what you have to do, do quickly. You know what John 13, verse 29 tells us about that moment? We know the other 11 did not catch that. It says this, since Judas had charge of the money, some of those in the upper room, thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. They were not following that Judas was going to betray him yet at that point. So here he is with this armed crowd of soldiers to arrest. They were in shock. I'm sure they were. How about this crowd? It says a large crowd here in Matthew. Luke's gospel tells us these were officers from the temple guard. John's gospel says it was a detachment of soldiers that came, hundreds of armed men. It was not just an impromptu mob that the Pharisees got together and got them riled up. No, this was planned. It was a carefully organized group by the chief priests and elders. And here they come, right there. How about the kiss? Most of you probably know in that culture, even today in a lot of Middle Eastern cultures, we can see it sometimes on the news, you know, when important leaders are greeting each other. It's a kiss on the one cheek, a kiss on the other cheek between two men, and then a hug, right? That's very much a part of their culture. And so this, Judas greets him this way. It says, he told them, the one I kiss is the man. You think, wouldn't they have all known who he was? No, they wouldn't have. Even Herod, when Pilate sends Jesus to Herod, Herod had never seen him before. And you got these people in Jerusalem for the Passover feast, hundreds of thousands there. So they had to have that signal. The one I kiss is the man, Judas said, arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi. Wow, acting like everything's good. Calls him Rabbi. Jesus replied, friend. He's called him friend yet. Do what you came for. It's his permission all the way. It is his permission. This, the kiss on the cheek, and the embrace, there's different words for kiss in the Greek language. This one that is used is of a very close friendship, a firm embrace, and this kiss on each side that Judas did. What, you know, that to me partly shows, well, it just shows the hypocrisy, number one. It shows who the devil is, secondly, because we know the scriptures tell us when Judas left that upper room that night, Satan entered him. So that means he is now possessed by the devil as he goes out and does what he does. And we know the devil that, of course, hates Jesus Christ. He hates God's children, us, filled with the Holy Spirit. He has no care, and we see it right here. How about the second one? The disciples' incompetence. I know, just spell it the best you can. I was trying to think, the first point, Jesus in command, let's see, what could I use to sort of go with that? And I came up with their incompetence. I'm not trying to slam them. I mean, we would have done the same as they did if we were in their shoes. But what does incompetence mean? It means they were inadequate for the purpose, what was happening right there, okay? Letter A, what? They are reacting in the flesh. It's what they're doing. Reacting in the flesh. Look at verse 50, Matthew 26. The men stepped forward, these are the soldiers, seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword. We know that was Peter. Drew it out, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Now that's reacting in the flesh, I'd say. Jesus said, put your sword back in its place. Again, when you read this, if you have time, go through all four Gospels, because John's Gospel, chapter 18, he's the one that tells us it was Simon Peter. He tells us it was the right ear of this servant of the high priest that got cut off, and he tells us his name. Isn't that something? Malchus was his name. If you go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, you find the detail that Jesus touched his ear and healed him, which is incredible, isn't it? Right, that whether it was hanging just by an end, whether it was on the ground and he picked it up and puts it back on, and yet that did not deter one of them at all. What? Just as I started out here, the disciples are wanting to take matters into their own hands on this night, as we often do. I've done it. We have all done it. It's just how the flesh, this flesh that we have to battle against, the nature of it, all, as long as we live here. When we're threatened, what do we like to come back? Rawr, you know, if we get backed in a corner, we've often said the expression, back me in a corner and you better watch out, right? Better watch out. However it goes. You know, I have a hunch if they would have been praying in the garden just a couple hours through the last 2 hours with Jesus as he asked them to do, instead of sleeping while he was praying, they might have reacted a little bit differently in this setting. But they're human. In John 18, 2, he says, when he's before Pilate, this is later in the morning, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight. They would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. We are in a spiritual battle every day that we live on this earth. And I tell you what, I think you would probably all agree, it just seems like the devil is ramping up the heat on his end of things. The world situation, yeah, even just locally, we see just attacks coming and some, I'm certain, families just being hammered, you know, with things nonstop. We're in a spiritual battle, which is a whole nother subject. That's why we have to have on the armor of God every day of our lives. As Christians, all too often, we react in the flesh when we're in a difficult situation. And what happens? Things get said that shouldn't be said. Things get done that shouldn't be done. And the one drawback of this age of social media that we live in, I don't know. You know, I'm not on Facebook. I don't want to be on there. I think it'd probably break my heart if I saw all. I'm not saying it's bad. No. Okay, let me say this first. I know a lot of you are. You connect with family and all that, which is awesome. But I hear plenty of stuff of what comes across on the other end of it. And I just think, I do not even want to see it. Don't want to see it. So what has it done? That it's made it so easy to, without facing a person, just a... Things that we probably would never say verbally, just and reacting in the flesh. And then what? Just like Jesus that night, he had to clean up Peter's mess, didn't he? And he could clean it up, couldn't he? Peter, put the sword back in its place. No, this is not what we're here for. Come on. Get the ear, stick it back on the guy's head. I wonder, I just got a hunch, this is only my feeling, I have no scripture on it, that we might just see that guy in heaven. You know,
And we get to hear about that night. That's only my hunch. And most of them, they had their orders. They had to obey Rome, their commanding officers, or they were dead, right? So what were they going to do? But he had to know something about Jesus when that happened. Put your sword in its place. So as always, we pray, Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit. Father, forgive me. We all do it. For times I react in the flesh, forgive me, Lord Jesus. And he does. Give me strength, Lord, to follow you. Jesus in command, number one. The disciples' incompetence, reacting in the flesh, second. Third, back over Jesus. He is in complete control of the situation. Verse 52, put your sword back in its place. Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think? I love this verse, and I certainly love the song that has been written on this verse. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once, that fast, at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? Without Jesus in complete control, with what Peter did at that moment there, if Jesus wouldn't have stepped in, those 11 disciples probably would have been dead very shortly. If they tried to fight, what were they going to do against this hundreds of armed soldiers? Nothing. Nothing could they do. Oops. And what if they would have died? They didn't. They were the founders of the church. They were the ones God used to start the church age on the day of Pentecost. Thank goodness he was in control. All power available. All power was available on this night, all the time. Look, when Jesus said about this, did more than 12 legions of angels, I've told you this before, but in case you forgot, it's in there again. One legion equals 6,000 soldiers. It's one legion. 12 legions, 72,000 soldiers. He said, I can call on my Father right now, and he will have at my disposal at once more than 12 legions of angels. I like the picture I have of that night right there. All the host of heaven was standing at attention. All of the angelic army standing there in the realm of the spirit. Jesus saw them. The human beings didn't see them. They were all there. Just say the word. Just say the word. We know he wouldn't. Okay, I get all that. It had to happen this way. He knew that. But he wanted them to know all the hosts of heaven was there. You know what? Why? They were watching. They were waiting. He is their commander. Jesus, that's in this song we're going to close with. He is the commander of the army of the Lord of hosts. We saw him back in Joshua chapter 5 before they're going to conquer Jericho. And they're there. They've crossed the Jordan River. They're in the promised land. There's Jericho, that incredible walled city in front of them. It's night. And all of a sudden, there is Jesus appearing in his pre-incarnate form before Joshua, and Joshua falls on his knees. How do you know it was Jesus? That's one of the main ways. Falls on his face before him. Because if it was just a regular angel, Gabriel, Michael, the archangel, he would have said, get up. No, don't worship me, worship God. Jesus was there. And what did he say? As commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And there he was. There he was, standing before him. Back to this incident in the garden. We know, let me go back to 2 Kings 19. This is when the Assyrian army was coming against Hezekiah, king of Judah. And that night, one angel went out against the enemy, the Assyrians, and killed 185,000 enemy soldiers. One angel. All power was present. Secondly here, Scripture fulfilled. Scripture fulfilled. We see it twice in this passage. How then, verse 54, how then would the Scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? What Scriptures? The Old Testament Scriptures. The New Testament was being lived out in the moment. It wasn't written yet. The Old Testament, verse 56, at the end of the passage, he says, all this has taken place that the writings of the prophets, Old Testament, might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. It grieves my heart. I heard this since the first of the year, I suppose. I've heard it other times. Yeah, I'm talking here even in South Dakota. Some of these colleges that are supposed to be Christian colleges, and yet they got their religion professor in there telling these students, you know what? The Bible is not perfect. You can't trust the Scriptures because men wrote it. So how can you trust it? I'm thinking, do you ever read your Bible? Look how many times Jesus referred to the Old Testament prophets, and here's two examples. He is giving authority to the Old Testament again and again and again. And I would hate to be in those professors' shoes on Judgment Day, honestly. Here's these young freshmen kids coming out of high school into college and sophomores, whatever, and they think they're at a Christian school, and this is what they're getting told? God have mercy. What about these Scriptures, Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active? What about 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20? Men spoke from God. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. What about 2 Timothy 3:16? All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. What about all of that? If you take the supernatural part out of God's Word, it is no different than any other book in the library, Moby Dick, or who knows what. No, this is a supernatural book. And so the battle belongs to the Lord. It does. As we live today, it does. And so with that, we can rest in Him. Yeah, we have things coming at us all the time, and we don't know how it's going to end up. And so then often fear enters or anger enters. We react in the flesh. And then what? And then apologies have to be given, right? And should be given. Forgiveness extended. God said to King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, I'll close with this, when they were up against an impossible battle too, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And it is still true today. I'm not saying we don't ever do anything. I don't mean that. I'm not preaching pacifism here or whatever, but led by the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. There's so much we could preach on, even on this passage here. But Lord, you know our weaknesses. Forgive us for them, Father. You still use us in incredible ways, as you do this congregation. And I thank you for everyone here, Lord, and those that aren't here today. All the different personalities that you've put within this church, help us always to walk together in the love of God, led by your Spirit, knowing, Jesus, that you are the God of angel armies. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. And that is what we're going to sing. It's number 133 in the praise book. Let's stand together, please.
shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you are Lord and Savior. You will deliver him. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Some awesome singing. Please receive the benediction, and now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. And one more we will sing as a prayer for our nation. God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, and stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. You may be seated. There we go. Thank you, Marina, for the beautiful music, and Fred for helping along. Member FCA banquet this evening, 6 o'clock.